It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Coming up, 9 o'clock hour tonight, Doug Plank, the former great Chicago Bears safety, is going to join us every Monday night to talk about Chicago Bears football. Obviously, we didn't get a chance to talk about that horrendous first preseason game, but Doug watched it, and he has analysis and reaction to see what we need to work on and what we missed as well. Doug Plank joins us every Monday night at 9 o'clock. How great is that? I mean, he was number 46. They named the 46 defense after this guy, and he is on every Monday night here in Chicago on the download. Also tonight, 10 o'clock, so excited for this. This is a tremendous treat. Taylor Bennett, a great hip-hop artist, is going to perform live. Studio 435 coming up tonight, 10 o'clock. Taylor Bennett's record, Broad Shoulders, we had him on in here. Great Chicago kid. His brother, Chance the Rapper. He is a tremendous talent. And I said this last time, Pete, when we did the interview with him, that, you know, a lot of times I'll have musicians and other people on, and we sample their music. I listen to it to get ready. And his album was an album that I kept on my playlist and I kept going back to. So I know a lot of his work. So I'm excited to have him perform live tonight in the 10 o'clock hour. Well, my guest tonight at the big table is one of this country's best actors, best dancers, best singers, best choreographers. Andre DeShields is back in town for his show Confessions of a PIMP. It's on stage the weekend of the 26th at the Victory Gardens. DeShields wrote this show, which is an adventure from inner city impoverishment to self-actualization. Andre DeShields is an award-winning song and dance man. He's actually a Broadway legend. He was in Hair. He created the role of The Wiz in the original stage production of The Wiz. He was in Ain't Misbehavin', The Full Monty. He's choreographed several other big-time musicals. He's a man that I've admired from afar. Tremendous talent with a tremendous resume. And it's my pleasure to welcome Andre DeShields to the big table tonight. Mr. DeShields, thanks for being here.
Good evening, Chicago. Now, before we start rolling.
All right, what'd I do?
Can I do something?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Justin Kaufman. Happy birthday to you.
Wow, how about that, man? It is my birthday today. It's not every day
gotcha.
You get serenaded with Andre DeShields. That's great. Thank you for that.
Pleasure.
I got to put that on the old reel, right?
All right.
I got a Broadway legend singing me happy birthday. I appreciate that. All right, so let's talk about, I mean, you're back in Chicago. You come through a lot, and you did this show, Confessions of a PIMP, last year at the Ignition Festival. Let's talk about this, because, you know, you're known as you are a song and dance man at heart, but you haven't written that much stuff on your own. This is something that's a little bit different.
Actually, I have written that much stuff on my own,
okay.
But that's okay. This is the first time that I've taken an opportunity to tell a story that is borrowed from my actual life and my career. So Confessions of a PIMP should be received as autobiographical fiction. The facts are there, but the situations, mm-hmm. because I've taken dramatic license
sure.
to increase the entertainment, the enlightenment, and the ecstasy.
Okay, so let me ask you, I mean, what drew you to do that kind of project? I mean, I mentioned you've done so many different projects, you've created so many different roles. What was it about bringing Confessions of a PIMP to stage?
I've been on the planet for 7 decades. I have a lot of life experience, and I believe it is the responsibility of performing artists to bridge the gaps, between the generations. So those of us who are in the preceding generation mm-hmm. have a responsibility to those who are in the succeeding generation to explain how we got from there
yeah.
to here.
It's like, I mean, it is as sort of tribal as storytelling.
Absolutely.
As we know, right?
And there's a Francophone word, perhaps you know it, griot, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. It's an art form, right?
Well, the griot is the individual who is responsible for keeping the oral history
right.
of the family, the community, the society, the nation, the tribe. And, of course, he also has to have a protege to pass that information on to. So a griot would be like a walking library. And the stories that the griot tells are transformative for individuals, You can alter a government. If you tell the story effectively, you can change mm-hmm. the world. You can make it into the place that you dream it to be. So this is my opportunity to tell my story. Everyone's story is unique. And certainly now is the time to build bridges.
For you, was that something that, is this something that's been on your mind? Is this something that you've always sort of brought to your career, that to be someone who not only passes down your story, but mentors other people, that helps the next generation come up? Like, talk about where that comes from for you.
My professional career started here in Chicago in 1969 at the Schubert Theater, which then became the Bank of America Theater, which is now the Private Bank Theater. And I've spent 47 years telling other people's stories,
right, right.
The stories of the characters that I inhibit. Well, of course, we actors invest parts of ourselves in every character, in every role that we portray. It comes to the point when the most impressive, most influential character that you can play is yourself. Because that's what you know most about. And yes, I have mentored. And young people ask me questions all the time. What do I do now that I've spent 4 years in formal training? Now that I'm in the real world, what do I do? So it helps to keep me honest. And it also helps to teach how to blaze those trails and leave them open for other people to travel. Chicago is very much a part of this story that I'm telling in Confessions of a PIMP, because when I left Chicago after living here 4 years in 1973, if I had had any idea that I would be back here almost annually to do some work, I would have kept a little pied-a-terre somewhere.
Somewhere,
right. Bought something on South Wabash that would now be worth $1 million,
right,
or whatever. Yeah.
So the show is Confessions of a PIMP, written and performed by Andre DeShields, who's my guest tonight. It's going to be on stage the 26th, 27th, and 28th at the Victory Gardens Theater. It's autobiographical fiction.
Yeah.
Of the life of Andre DeShields.
Sounds amazing. The best of both worlds.
All right, so let's take a quick break. We'll come back, and I want to talk about doing theater at the Schubert in 1969 here in town. What you remember, what you recall, sort of set the scene for what Chicago was. Andre DeShields, my guest at the Big Table tonight. Stay
you
with
got
us.
It.
It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman, my guest in studio at the Big Table tonight, Andre DeShields, song and dance man, Broadway legend. His show, Confessions of a PIMP, is doing a 3-night only run at the Victory Gardens Theater coming up the 26th, 27th, and 28th of August. It's great to get you here. I know you got rehearsals. You're only in for one weekend. It's awesome to talk to you because, we think about we only have an hour to talk about your career, which is not enough time. But what I really wanted to focus on was that those early days, Hair, 1969, Schubert Theater. Talk about Chicago at that time. What drew you here? What brought you here? What was Chicago theater like? And what was the experience, that is relatable today?
I did my undergraduate work at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. So Chicago was bright lights, big city. That's where we went to blow it all out. So when Tom O'Horgan came to town and announced that he was auditioning for Hair, and these are one of the facts, so I went to my friends on campus and I said, you know what my dream is, to be an entertainer. And I want to go to Chicago to audition for Hair. But I'm a student like you. I don't have enough money. And I guess the round-trip bus ticket at that time must have been around $10. So I asked my friends to contribute to the pool, to the pot, to get me to Chicago and back. Three of my associates, three lovely ladies who are still in my life,
really?
Put together my round-trip bus ticket. Now, this is 1969. In the summer, I'm totally wet and green behind the ears.
I was going to say.
I get to Chicago thinking I'm going to audition and Tom O'Horgan's going to say, you're hired, right? Little did I know that there was such a thing called a callback, because 400 young hippies were, you know, circling the Schubert Theater at that time. So here was my options. Use the return ticket to go back to Madison, and then beg for more money to get here for the callback, or sleep overnight in Grant Park. It was the summertime, and in 1969, you could do that, you know? You could sleep outside. You could hitchhike across the country without any problems. So that's what I did. I slept overnight in Grant Park. When I got up, I went into the, what's the museum here?
Well, right there, the Art Institute.
Yeah, the Art Institute. Yeah, yeah. You know, used the public bathroom, splashed some water on my face, went back to the callback, and did get the gig. So,
did you at least, did they notice you had the same clothes on me? Like,
well, I think they liked that because they could recognize me.
Right.
Now, I'm not suggesting that any of you young people try that today, sleeping in Grant Park. But those are the kinds of risks you have to take once you decide that this is the road I'm going to travel. Come hell or high water, I'm going to make it. So the month I graduated, I had my first gig.
And so tell us about that gig. I mean, that show obviously is iconic in the way that
absolutely
it's
iconic.
Still
America's
being produced
first
today.
Rock and roll tribal.
What did you
music.
Know about going into it? I mean, were you obviously had the chops, you got the role, but going into it, did you think it would have the sort of cultural resonance that it still
well,
has?
Well, I knew because it had already played off Broadway at the Public Theater, and then it had moved to Broadway. Okay. And this was a sit down company in Chicago. It wasn't a tour. Hair played in Chicago for a little over 2 years, right? So I had known about it from its Broadway profile.
Sorry, and
I
thought,
Yeah, and I thought in my hippie mind, if I can get paid for taking off my clothes, right? This is the path for me. But of course, it was more than that. The young people who performed in Hair were not necessarily dreaming about having a career as a performing artist. What we were dreaming about was changing the culture. We were the first generation that wore the moniker counterculture. The Vietnam War was going on, right? America was losing its political innocence. The inner cities across the country were what we now call urban insurrection, were going up in flames, riots, that sort of thing. America was changing. In 1969, there were no black studies departments except in historically black colleges and university. Right. And with our naive but passionate ability to change the world, we put black studies departments, first of all, at the University of Wisconsin, which is where I told you I was undergraduate. Now, the Loop was not, at that time, was not a place you wanted to be after sundown, right? After the department stores and the corporations closed, you wanted to get out of the Loop, except for the shows that were playing in the big theaters with the chasing lights. Where true, authentic Chicago theater was happening was on North Lincoln Avenue.
Talk about that.
That's where the theater, as we know it now, was burgeoning.
Organic theater.
Organic theater. I was a member of the Organic Theater Company.
Talk about that.
Founded by a Chicago native, Stuart Gordon, who was my classmate at the University of Wisconsin. Now, quick sidebar, because I'm sitting here at the big desk with my mentor and producer of Confessions of a PIMP, Dennis Zalchek.
Who is just sitting in the studio, by the way. The legendary Tony Award-winning Dennis Zalchek is just sitting in the
smiling
chair.
Smiling and nodding
listening.
His head, right?
I've already convinced him in the breaks. I begged him to do a big table later. But yes, Dennis is here.
Right. So I mentioned that because Confessions of a PIMP is going to play in Victory Gardens.
Yeah, right.
Now, Dennis, 37 years, Dennis? 34 years. Dennis was the artistic director of the Victory Gardens Theater for 34 years and was part of that innovative drive on North Lincoln Avenue to bring significant homegrown theater to Chicago audiences. The Victory Gardens was once the Organic Theater Company.
It all comes together, right?
Yeah, of course, it all comes together.
Like all of your, that's so interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like a lot of what you know, I want to talk about after the news is about your philosophical approach to this work and reading the different stories about how you really truly do believe in that sort of circle of life.
Right.
Everything comes together. We'll talk about that some more. What, you know, doing Organic and playing on North Lincoln Avenue, what made you leave? I mean, was it just the calling of Broadway, 1973, saying, I got to go to the big time?
Well, anyone who perceives of himself as a performing artist wants to play on every stage in the world. And Broadway persists, right, as the gold ring. Everyone wants his opportunity to play on Broadway. Why? Because if you can make it there, you can make it anywhere. Now, let's tell the truth. Once you've played on Broadway, you can check it off your list. Not that you'll never go back, but you've had the experience. You need to continue to reinvent yourself.
Right.
And since when I went to New York, I was received as a Chicago actor, what better place to reinvent myself than Chicago?
Andre DeShields is my guest tonight. His show, Confessions of a PIMP, three nights only at the Victory Gardens Theater, August 26th, 27th, and 28th. We'll take a break. We'll get the news. Come back. We'll talk a bit more about your illustrious career in theater, but also your philosophy, not just on the stage, but in life. Andre DeShields, my guest tonight at the Big Table. Stay with us. It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio tonight at the Big Table, Andre DeShields, a great Broadway legend, song and dance man, created the role Wiz, the Wiz for the Wiz. Also, I mean, we just talked about Hair here in Chicago, Ain't Misbehavin', The Full Monty, choreographed so many different shows. I mean, like I said, we only have an hour to talk about your career.
Okay,
he's got his show, Confessions of a PIMP, written and performed by Andre DeShields, will be three nights only at the Victory Gardens Theater up at 2433 North Lincoln Avenue. That's the 26th, 27th, and 28th. 773-871-3000 for tickets. All right. So, you know, I mentioned all these things, and there's something great and nostalgic and romantic and inspirational about 70s Broadway. There's just something, I don't know if it's the sort of like where the images came out and the idea of the chorus line or just that vibe, that sort of, you know, that I can't even, the emotion that comes with that. There's something just great about what was produced on Broadway in the 70s, and you were a part of it. What made that time special, performing, choreographing, being all around, you know, New York City theater like that?
The 70s were special in New York, but all over the world, for several reasons. It was the first time that communities across the board were taking seriously the doctrines of non-traditional casting, multiculturalism, ethnic diversity, and inclusion. And it changed the way not only producers made theater, but it changed the demographic of the audiences who were coming to the theater. Now, there are many examples, but I want to use the one closest to me, The Wiz. Previous to 1975, when The Wiz opened on Broadway, African-American audiences felt that Broadway was a most inhospitable terrain.
Didn't they call it the White Way or the Great White Way?
The Great White Way. But African Americans didn't invent that. Let me put the story straight right now. Broadway is referred to as the Great White Way because of the invention of electricity.
Oh, okay.
And when they
put the
chasing lights
on Broadway, it looked as if it was daylight
all the time, so it was referred to as the Great White Way. However, that metaphor, that double entendre, has not been wasted. Because when we want to make a point, we say, well, that's why it's called the Great White Way, huh? But also the 70s was that decade of permission and permissiveness. In the 70s, men could have long hair, wear earrings, high heels, bell bottoms. Everyone had the permission to be over the top beautiful. Free love, all that sort of stuff, right? The 70s was the precursor to Broadway making that very necessary and definitive change of making the shows on the stage look like the audiences mm-hmm. who were paying for the tickets.
You've worked in every generation. I mean, you know, you talked at the beginning of this interview, you know, sort of your 70 years on this planet.
Yeah.
But you've worked for decades and very distinct decades in Broadway. You worked in the 80s, the 90s, 2000s, even this
yeah.
this decade.
And there's more to come.
What, I mean, as you think back, I mean, from what you've performed in this decade, to 2010s here, to what you were performing in the 70s, is Broadway the same? Is it similar? Has it changed drastically in the way that can you still recognize it?
Well, Broadway is the same in the sense that it is the leading industry in New York, right? New York is a tourist state, and it's also a tourist town. And the greatest touring attraction in New York is Broadway. So it has to be tourist friendly. And as we know, tourists come from all over the world. Mm-hmm. So Broadway has definitely necessarily changed.
Changes with the taste of the tourists.
Exactly, right. Exactly. Now it's very international, which is cool. I want to, before we run out of time, I want to mention, because we refer to Confessions of a PIMP as a one-man show.
Yeah, did I say it was a one-man show?
Yeah, but that's cool. No.
There's other actors.
It is a one-man show because I'm up front. But because it's happening in Chicago, I want people to understand that the community of people on stage with me are Chicago thoroughbreds. I didn't bring any ringers in from the East Coast. So the two ladies who are my vocalists, Donica Lynn and Kimberly Lawson, they have paid their dues right here in Chicago.
Right.
My three musicians, Doug Peck, Tony Moon, and Robert Redrick, they're home boys, and they all are the cream of the crop. So I just wanted to
shout out to them.
I'm
glad you can actually make a transition, because you know, I wanted to ask you at some point about, you know, you have had such an illustrious career on Broadway. You've also come back to Chicago and played, it seems like, every other year you're back here with some sort of project.
Right.
You've also played, you know, you talked about your time in Wisconsin. Where's home for you when it comes to, and I don't mean it in the way like, where do you live? Where do you sleep? But when you talk about your theatrical home, what does that mean? And where is it at?
My theatrical home is Chicago. Because when we need rehabilitation, you go to that place that can help you heal, that can help you reinvent yourself, that can help you shed that hard shell that you've grown because you got to deal with just the craziest situations in the world. But then you go home and you molt, and people love you into consciousness, and you become revivified, and you can go back out into the hippodrome, if you will, you know, and fight that intense battle. Now, you had said earlier you wanted to, or I had the permission to be a little philosophical.
Yeah.
Can I go to that place now?
I give you permission to go there.
Thank you. Well, look. This is not an easy path. This is not an easy journey. I know there are many people who look at stage actors and think, oh, they're just playing. No. When I go to my annual physical checkup with my doctor, she says, you have the heart of a football player. And I said, you're right. I also have the stamina of a football player. Because in order to do what we do 24/7, 365, you have to be an athlete. Really. Now, we don't make the money that those football players make, but that's okay. Because we are happy to know that we've chosen a career that has also chosen us.
The physicality that you have to put into a show, especially a Broadway show that's running, you know, I mean, a gazillion times a week. I mean, you're doing 8-9 shows a week, and it's just nonstop. I mean,
Don't tell anybody I'm doing 9 shows a week. My union will come after me.
Yeah, but, right. Yeah, but the idea being you're doing several shows a week, union specific, yeah. But the mental part of acting. And not just learning lines, but, you know, you've talked about auditions. I read this piece when getting ready for this interview about how you go in and you claim the role. You go in and instead of saying, you know, am I right for this part? You go in and say, this is my part.
Yes.
Talk about the mental framework for being an actor and having to, you know, go in and audition in front of people and, you know, every 6 months try to hunt for a new job.
Well, one has to understand that part of the process, part of the audition process, is that the persons for whom you are auditioning are trying to find a type, a box to put you in. So my approach is to go in as beyond category. I am my type, and there's no competition. Right? So as much as you think I'm coming in to find out if I'm right for the role,
right.
I'm coming in to see if the role is right for me. But let me get very basic. You have to have the dream. You have to start with the dream. This is what I want to do for as long as I live. And after you have the dream, you have to have the epiphany. The epiphany is that spiritual affirmation. You don't know where it's going to come from, but when it comes, you know, the universe is conspiring to help me. And then you have to be legitimized. That means at some point in your life, you have to be paid for the dream and the epiphany that you're working on. Once you get those three elements together, your path then proceeds as one golden step after the other. I didn't say one easy step after
the other.
It's all difficult. Even for those who are perceived to have made it, it is hard to stay in this industry.
It's, you know, I think of the creative arts in any form. You know, we've had conversations with a lot of people with background, different disciplines. And there's always this talk about, you know, what creativity is. And as a creative person, that it evolves, meaning that, you know, you're not, if you are listening to this right now and they're listening to Andre DeShields and you're like, oh, I want to be an actor, it's not going to necessarily go your way on the first time that, you know,
or the second or third. Right.
But there's something about the routine or there's something about doing as much work as you possibly can. And I hear over and over that Chicago is a place that lets you do that. That helps you understand how creative or what your voice is or who you are to defy those categories.
Right. Which is why when I arrived in New York in 1973 and New York embraced me as a Chicago actor, I said, that's cool. Because Chicago knows and teaches how to do it yourself. Because that's what you have to do to stay on the straight and narrow. That's what you have to do to have a sustainable career and a career of longevity. Look, I'm going to tell the difficult truth. This industry guarantees two things, and it's not fame and fortune. It's rejection and insecurity. Now listen to me, young people. If when you get hungry, and you are going to get hungry, if you can make a meal of rejection, and if when you get lonely and you are going to get lonely, if you can make a companion of insecurity, then this is the profession for you. But if that frightens you.
Yeah, if that stands in your way.
If that makes you quiver, please do something else and leave that to those of us who have the
it
metal.
It takes a hard time. And there are a lot of artists, and this is what happens, is a lot of artists in their 20s and 30s finally come to that realization that this is not for them.
Right.
That you'll have a lot of people drop off, but then there's the people like yourself, like Dennis, who other people who stay with it, even though you are still faced with that rejection, even though you're still faced with that insecurity.
That is correct. You have to dream in terms of forever and infinity, because it doesn't stop. And what you want to do is leave your impression as part of the mosaic.
For you, coming back to do this show, you did it at Ignition, the festival last year. You're doing it again here on the week of the 26th, 27th, 28th. You know, what's next for? I mean, when you talk about thinking in infinity, you know, thinking about forever, is that where are you in your career? Where are you in the way that you say you're thinking forever? Is there an end game for this? I mean, is there like sort of like this is where I want to get, or is this
No, there is no end game. Look, every one of us who wants to be a performer on the stage as a young individual dreams of theater as a way of life. Isn't that beautiful? But I'm telling you, once you get paid for performing, you've hit it. Now, what do you do after that? You change that preposition. Theater as a way of life, theater as a way to life. And that's when it opens up to infinity. That's when, as long as you breathe, you can continue to be creative. Because you're not just a performing artist. You are a creative activist. And you understand that your best role is in service to humanity at large.
Yeah. Andre DeShields, a Broadway legend, it's tremendous to have you in studio here in Chicago. You've done so much, not just here in Chicago, but on Broadway. Like we've mentioned, I mean, Hair to The Wiz to Full Monty to Ain't Misbehavin', tons of work. Your show, Confessions of a PIMP, is on stage three nights only at the Victory Gardens coming up August 26th, 27th, and 28th. It's autobiographical fiction, the life of Andre DeShields. The Victory Gardens, of course, in Lincoln Park, 773-871-3000 for tickets. Andre DeShields, can't thank you enough. Thanks for being my
guest. Thank you. And all those 120,000 people that's listening to you, Justin Kaufman, buy your tickets now. I'm out of here.